You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, and welcome to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University on the unceded ancestral lands of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. My name is Robin, and I will be one of your hosts on the show today. Just waiting for Pranjali, who missed her bus connection earlier, and it's funny because I was worried that I was going to be the late one this morning because I was, you know, looking at my watch as I ran out the door, thinking that I might not get there in time, but here I am. Just to get us sort of settled into the groove of things, we're going to hear a song that is in keeping with the topic of our show today and the discussion that we're going to have, which is all about environmental security. And I'm not going to get into that quite yet about what it means and all of that that business, but this will put us a little bit in the mood. This song goes back quite a few years. It's by Dar Williams off the album Promised Land. This is Go to the Woods here on Intravenous.
Rambling and rambling, rambling and rambling. It's the woods. What do you see? In all the spooky shadows, in the forest of green. Is there a windy path, angry ass woman who will eat you? Sad-eyed lumberjack savior who will greet you? It's a different story for you and for me. Land are many leagues of the wild, wise and uncontainable as a windy-haired child. There are the youth truth movements and they're springing from the ground. Freak flag wavers and you cannot chop them down. Hey, it's the home of the brave, you'll get the threat of the free. Go to the woods,
go to the woods
and see. Your memory, what would you do? 'Cause you know if you go back in time, there's something waiting for you. You got your forest path, reading map, dappling a shape. You can just admit it, there's a promise that you made. And you can't ever pass back, but you can hold me. That the woods are disappearing.
That was Dar Williams with Go to the Woods here on Intravenous. And just in the nick of time, Pranjali ran through the door. Hello.
Good morning, everyone. It has been a morning for sure. I didn't expect that. Because it's raining, so you always feel like you should just sleep in a little more and you just switch off your alarm because you're half awake and you convince yourself that, oh, no, I'll make it. It's fine. So that's what happened. I missed my bus because it came 3 minutes early. Like, it sort of betrayed me in that sense. It shouldn't have been early in the morning, you know, but transit it is. So I missed that, but I'm pretty happy to be back on Intravenous. It has been a hot minute. Like, I did it last, I think, in May, perhaps, and...
It was before those darned classes got us interrupted.
No, yeah. So maybe perhaps April, yeah. But no, I'm always super excited to be on Intravenous. And thankfully, my schedule now allows for more of these talks. So I look forward to talking. And today's topic, I sort of picked it because I was writing a paper in a class that was looking at international security, understanding what sort of policies can be made in relation to the environment. And my sort of focus in that class was the region in the Southeast Asia. So that includes countries like Indonesia, Philippines, Vietnam. So all these countries who are literally at the at a very high risk of environmental repercussions. So I looked at what sort of policies these countries can come together and make and what sort of international frameworks already exist. So that's the kind of work that I was looking at for the class. But one paper that I really found interesting, I couldn't include it in my paper because it was not, unfortunately, very relevant to the class, but it's a very important issue, I think, that is to bring together this idea of environmental security and gender. So how does those two interact and how this is an intersecting issue? I think I've talked about climate change and environment as a whole being such an important issue, but lying between different multiple intersections and how it's important even for policies which might look like they're scientific, technological, are very state-based, they are actually very individual-based as well, as we can see with environmental effects like the wildfires that we had here in Canada. And there's so many things happening. Indonesia changed its capital city from Jakarta to another location because that city is at a very, very high risk of rising sea level. So they're moving the city away from the capital city, which is a very big thing. So, for example, Ottawa has to move out. Like, all the companies and all the work that is going on in Ottawa has to be relocated somewhere else because it is at a risk of, you know, being flooded or whatever. So that is the sort of things that are already happening. And still, I just don't understand why there is a lack of bringing all those issues in relation to how we view gender, because, yeah, I just don't want to talk too much.
Well, I think we should start at the beginning, because I think... you know, environmental security, even before we bring in the question of gender, is something that maybe members of our audience are not familiar with what that term refers to and why we should care about it and how, you know, it sort of builds a pyramid almost of the ways in which all of what follows in terms of how we experience the environment and climate and all of the things that sort of fall under that umbrella happen.
Yeah.
Right? And so do you want to give us sort of a 101?
Yeah, for sure.
101 on...
I just feel like everybody knows it, so I just go right into it. No, for sure. I think environmental security is a very broad concept, and that has rooted from a variety of things. For example, the environmental and natural resources that as they relate to human security. So, for example, the risk on human population in a country, so the effects of environment. So that is why it's called security, because it directly affects or impacts certain different areas of, let's say, the government. So, for example, the population, the human population, or it affects their economy directly, or it affects their crop and agriculture and tourism industries. So how this sort of issue plays into directly the security of the humans existing in a state is the sort of very, very broad idea of what environmental security is. In terms of defining the differences between making an issue as a security issue and calling it as a concept, which is securitization, these are two different things when we talk about international politics and international relations. So securitization essentially means that an issue is worth bringing up on the agenda of the politics in a country. So for example, it's significant enough to bring that issue on a table for policies to be made, and securitization and conversations between different entities in the state happens. So that is when it becomes securitized. One example of this would be securitizing or securitization that we normally see, that is of the military. Having this idea of secure state that comes in from, there is an external factor that you need to secure yourself from. So that is where the security comes from. But in the case of environmental security, for example, it's not a human necessarily that we are protecting ourselves from. It's the actions, perhaps, the human action or the interaction between the human and the nature that brings in the question of security, I guess, here. Yeah. Also, in terms of getting into the different words that we use, a lot of scholars still use the word environment, which is very encompassing. That includes the humans, the abiotic, the biotic components, the living and the non-living components. But climate change would be the sort of phenomena that is happening right now. But the environment is like the nature, sort of, but humans also included. So yeah, I think it's important to make that distinction as we go through the conversations. So when we talk about environmental security, for example, we are also talking about the resource scarcity. So when there are less resources at a place, then it leads to perhaps importing or exporting, or if there is a conflict that arises from the scarcity of resources itself, that would also come under environmental security, because environment includes resources, natural resources like oil, gas. But climate change, for example, the climate security would mean that it directly relates to the things that we associate with extreme weather conditions. So I think I did some good job here. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a complicated issue because there's lots of intersecting ideas, mm-hmm. right? That if we're not thinking about one thing, then it's hard to think about what the other thing is. And I know, Pranjali, you had passed along an article to me that sort of was my introduction and a reference to me called Environmental Security and Gender, very apropos. And what I thought was interesting was that the author of the article breaks it down into these three categories, which you touched on, environmental conflict, where they identify the sort of main object of focus as human, as the human people, and that what happens is that there is a potential for violent conflict over those resources that you just spoke about, whether they're, you know, oil and gas and extracted resources, or whether it's like fertile land to be able to grow things on, or, you know, stable shorelines to build your houses on, or, you know, unradiated places to raise your family, whatever that might look like. And it's very sort of, because it's related to that idea of security. What I gleaned from it is that there's almost this military sort of quality to it. And already when we parse those out, right, and we break those out, anything that feels like it has a military sort of quality, all of a sudden is gendered, right? Like there's this masculine, action-oriented, you know, power over sensibility, I suppose.
I totally agree. Even this idea of security itself, and this idea of the state and the governments, as we understand and read through different schools of thoughts in international relations. I think, yeah, it's really dependent on understanding this very idea of binary flow of things. So, for example, state in itself, or military, as you said, in itself, carries this masculine identity that you need to protect. You need to do something, essentially, to save the ones who are, quote-unquote, downtrodden. So you're, you know, giving your helping hand because those people are, quote unquote, incapable to protect for themselves. That's the sort of idea that also comes into play when we talk about militarization. But I think it's very important to draw the difference between securitization and militarization. Those are very two different things. Militarization definitely involves having those guns and those tanks that we really associated with. But securitization more focuses on this idea of having use the word asset. So protecting that asset and bringing that conversation on the agenda of the state and also among the people. So that is sort of highlighting the issue in the consciousness of the people and of the government. That is the sort of idea of securitization, that it becomes an important issue that is understood in relation to security of a country. So, for example, that changing of the capital in Indonesia could be seen as a step of recognizing that, oh, climate change is happening and impacting them. So that is sort of a way to call it a securitization step. But militarization would be to have tanks and, for example, the resource wars that often we associate with countries who might not be that resource rich. There are also something that is called water wars. So there is a lot of conflict between the division of different rivers among countries. So water resources, South China Sea in itself is an example of this sort of competition of big powers, wherein different countries claim different parts of the sea in that region because it is resource rich and countries have to run their economies. So all these things are related not only to direct military steps, I mean, that's what I think I'm trying to convey here. But it means that it's an important issue to be talked about among the policymakers and the government officials. Yeah.
Another thing that I'm hearing kind of in the background almost, it's there, right? But in all of these differentiations, and you know, even in the article, the next differential is environmental security, mm-hmm. which also has the main object of focus as the human, whereas the primary concern shifts from, you know, the potential for violent conflict to what the negative impacts of environmental degradation are for humans. And this is where the conversation about gender really sort of hits the road, right? Where the pavement meets the rubber, so to speak, because the human historically has been the white skinned man, and that, or he, is the rubric by which things are assessed and evaluated, right? And so the security of the white skinned man is predominant or preeminent within that conversation of securitization. And you know, how their interests will or won't be protected in whatever the conversation is, right? Like the matters of hand are always evaluated against that matrix.
I just really admire the way that you've just linked the two things together so nicely. And for sure, I think this idea even of very normative, I think is the word here. I don't know if the English word is correct that I'm using here. But this idea that very scientific terms like the human or the data or other things, they are usually talked in with conversation when they talk about a white cisgender male. So definitely, yes, that is also interesting to look into the thing that we call as environmental security, because it's not just the humans who are just getting this one sort of vector of harm. There are multiple vectors acting at the same time, and it is different if you are a male or you are a female. So it's really different also in terms of what kind of roles that you play in the society, or what kind of roles you're generally attached with, what kind of gendered roles you play. So for example, some of the study that I was doing showcased that really the countries that we call as the third world countries, that, and I don't like that term at all, these countries, usually women are the ones who are gathering the stuff to hunting and gathering, as we understand. And the males are the ones who go out of the rural regions to work in the urban areas. So that is the sort of dynamics that happens. So if the resources were to become very scarce, and there was some sort of scarcity in terms of water supply, or there's an excess of water, rainfall problem, if there are wildfires, so those are the people, the females, as we call them in the gendered roles, would be the ones who would be first impacted, because those are the people who are gathering and hunting and going into those places to pick up the cherries, pick up the woods to have gas and light in their houses. So those people are at the front line of this phenomena that we understand as environmental security. So just calling security in terms of a human is not correct, as you just said. And before I go more into the conversation, I really liked that you sort of introduced my song in there, Calling the Man. So maybe we shall play that, and then we'll get more into these interlocking things that are happening with securitization of the environment and gender. Yeah.
Great idea. Do you want to introduce the song even further?
Sure. If you guys listen to any of my stuff, I just love Taylor Swift, and I can't say more about it. But other than that, the song actually brings into detail the sort of things and the lens that a female or a woman has to go, or other people other than man have to go through to undo, not undo, but like do as better as the man. So the lens that they have to go to. The lyrics are really good as well. They highlight the sort of idea that if you were a man, you would have been, you don't have to like face the daily obstacles of the patriarchy shackles that happen in our society all the time. Yeah, that's the song.
I would be complex, I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader, I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. In the work, they wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. What I was wearing, if I was rude, could I be separated from my good ideas and power moves? And they would toast to me or let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. 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 What's it like to brag about and getting bitches and models? And it's all good if you're bad, and it's okay if you're mad. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a bitch, not a father. They'd paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. You know that. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again.
And welcome back to Intravene Us here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM. Located on the unceded ancestral lands, oh my goodness, of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. And such a... Such a